Well, welcome back. Welcome back.
Hi.
How does it feel to be back in the States?
It feels great.
What a weird week last week was.
You know,
it was just such a emotionally volatile week for me.
Ditto.
How did you feel? Were you up and down at all?
Yeah. I mean, I tried to sort of run away from it.
And, yeah.
I mean, it was fairly easy to do because I wasn't tied to my phone. Service is really terrible where I was. And in fact, I was at the airport in Cancun on my way back when it was called.
Oh, interesting.
And so that was pretty exciting to know that I was coming back to personal elation, you know,
uh-huh.
Not everybody was happy with the news,
right.
But I personally was. I mean, it's just overall, there's still this fog of sadness for me because, you know, I do think that the election revealed that there's a lot of people in this country that I really disagree with. And that makes me sad because for me, it's not even political anymore. It's just about a human to human sort of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously you can't look at the number of votes and be like, well, all of these people voted for him for bad reasons. But it does make me sad. Like, I was kind of really hoping that it would just be this the landslide thing that didn't turn out to be.
Yeah.
So now it's like we all have to just, you know, both sides, we have to figure out our path forward. And it cannot, I hope that, my hope is that, we're not being driven by divisiveness. Like, that there is, and it's not as easy as being okay, now you guys, let's unite. I just don't think that's going to work. But I do think that if, we're being led by unity, then maybe some of this damage can be repaired.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an overall thing that everyone could say, no matter who you voted for, the divided nature of our country this past year has been hard on everybody from every side. So I'm hopeful too that whatever happens in the next couple months and then over the next couple years is that we can just all unite back into a really amazing democracy.
I also just hope that politics doesn't remain the number one form of entertainment for our country.
This is not a reality show. I watched so much stuff last week that I was like, is this fucking real life?
Yeah.
What is happening right now?
You just go on the
news
and everything was about Trump and the elect and the run up to the election and the election and
Is. It's still all about how they're interacting now and all of that stuff.
I hope that once the transition happens that politics isn't just the only thing the news is covering.
Sure.
Because you're waking up and it's more back to normal politics and it's not as interesting.
Yeah. I mean, this kind of leads into the topic. We were going to talk about these topics flip-flop, but we'll just switch it up because we're sort of going into it. But it is overwhelming how big of a deal this has been on the news and it's everywhere you look, it's everywhere you go and you're talking to people or you're standing at the water cooler, which I guess a lot of people aren't doing anymore because of COVID, but it's just so much this year. And I asked yesterday on my Instagram how that's affected people relationship wise and I was thinking also, how are people's sex drives right now? Because politics and all of this divisiveness, like you said, is just completely emotionally overwhelming.
Yeah.
For me, at least, it has
been. Exhausting.
Yeah. What was your initial thought be on that question?
I mean, I would think that, personally, I haven't been interested in dating.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a result of politics, though. But just trying to answer that question from my perspective, maybe it has been maybe the way that I've been feeling. And it's funny because when I was in Mexico, I did have this amazing massage and it's supposed to unlock you.
Mm-hmm.
And that night I was at the restaurant, we were having dinner and the people that I was with were oh my God, you are unlocked. This is, where have you been? I was
flying free,
ready to go, hitting on the waiter,
what would you say? What was your pickup line? I would love to have
seen
that.
Where'd you get those muscles?
No, that's Chip's favorite pickup line. When he sees a cute guy, where'd you get those muscles?
Where'd you get those muscles? but But now that I'm thinking about it, I'm wondering if it was the massage or the fact that I'd stepped away from this.
Yeah, the heaviness.
Like the heaviness of like what life has been for the last several years. So maybe it has had an impact on me because there has been like a hopelessness. And I'm just hoping that that cloud of hopelessness will be lifted and I'll feel better about myself and everyone feel great about themselves and maybe there's more sex in my future.
Sure, because it's so confusing to me, like, what is actually the culprit of my heaviness and all that, because there's so much stuff.
Right.
Like, it's literally been back to back, and the second you get a sense of relief, it's like actually, over the weekend, as I felt relief, because, like, we had an answer. Last week was so terrible, the back and forth, like, that was so draining to me. I remember going to a workout class, and this is with one of our friends. I'm probably gonna get annihilated now that I said that, but I wore a mask, by the way. But I went to this class, and a friend of ours was there with me, and he is not emotional ever. Like, I've never seen him cry. He barely ever cries in his life. And I literally looked at him at one point, and he was like teared up, and I'm like, what is happening? He was so drained, because it's just like you're checking your phone constantly. You're like in the midst of this argument back and forth, and it's just so heavy, and it's so defeating to me. Like, it was just so emotionally draining. And so I know for me personally, last week I was not interested in sex. Like, I was just like, I just want to go get in my bed and cry.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you could go one of the two extremes. Yeah. You could also just like throw caution to the wind and like approach sex with like reckless abandon because of hopelessness, you know?
Sure.
Like, there's nothing left to lose kind of mentality. I think too, just emotionally, like relationship wise, like even friends and family, it's like no one wants to think that they're wrong, you know, in these situations.
And well, everybody has their reason why they're
100%. And I don't know that it's not my place to feel like I need to change people either. Like,
right.
So it's like, how then do you reconcile it within your own life?
Well, I can't imagine if you were dating or married to a person who believed in the other candidate this year. Yeah. How the fuck do you survive that?
I had told myself, because I was really upset that I'd found out that all of my family were voting opposite of me.
Yeah.
And I said, fuck it. If Trump wins, I'm not going to go home for Christmas or Thanksgiving.
See, look at that.
And my plan was
how
to go home for Thanksgiving and stay the whole time.
Wow.
But, you know, I started thinking about just like my own path to where I am today. And I was like, wait a minute. I was the one that for 25 years of my life, like, had to hold a secret because I was scared that my family wasn't going to love me.
Right.
And now for the last 20 years of my life, I'm the one that has to suck it up and just like hear some terrible things that sometimes people from my hometown say when I'm home. And like, you know, I know it's an argument I'm not going to win there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm tired of being the one that has to suck it up and the one that has the consequences. So there you go. Like, if this goes the way that I'm not going to feel good about being at home, the consequences are theirs. I'm just going to stay here for Christmas.
Yeah.
And thankfully I do get to go see my family. And you know, I'm hoping that politics isn't a huge part of the conversation, but I'm sure it will come up. But at least I can lay my head down at night and know that it's changing and that the right person is going to be in the White House for me.
For you. Yeah. I mean, I think like you said earlier, it's so interesting because I have never been the person like, you know, my family has voted separate or, you know, like not my immediate family, but my bigger family has voted differently than I have in the past. We just don't talk about it. Or like I've had friends who vote differently. We just don't talk about it. This year, everything felt so much more personal and like so much more, what's the word where you just feel so convicted about your side? And I think both sides felt that. And so it was very divided. And anyway, we got a lot of messages back from these people. And it's sort of what you were saying. Like there's two ways that it could go. It was either there were some people like this girl, this girl's name is Cinnamon. So,
oh spicy. I like that.
Yeah, it is spicy. She said, oh girl, it helped. It helps me just forget about all the bullshit and I can just focus on what makes me happy, which is sex. And that actually, I was like, you know what? That's right. Like maybe if you are in the same place as your partner and you're like, okay, sex makes me happy. Let me just turn the fucking news off for a second and zone out and let's like love on each other. That actually.
Well, and if you see eye to eye politically, then it's like you it can you're on actually a team. Like, then sex is like an amazing connector.
That's
too.
True. That's and a great point.
At least then feel like you're going onto the battlefield, which is right. life at this point. Mm-hmm. With like a soldier sitting next to you, you know?
I mean, that's such a look, serious look at, analogy. Yeah, analogy. What is that a song too? I was just thinking life is a battlefield. Like that sounds
love
very,
is a battlefield.
Love is a battlefield. I knew that was something. Life is a battlefield in 2020. What I was going to say earlier, and I sort of got sidetracked, was like, literally, what is it that is emotionally draining to you this week? You just don't fucking know. Because right. it's one thing after another. I mean, last week was the election. This week, I'm trying to go back to work. We have the CMAs here in Nashville. And it's been hardcore with this
people
COVID shit.
Like flies COVID.
People are dropping like flies.
And poor Lee Bryce. He won.
I know.
He won and was going to perform.
Are we allowed to say that out loud?
No, it was announced. Okay, it was okay. One of the earlier ones.
Okay. Yeah, there's been a lot of artists who've had to drop out. Luckily, my artists are okay, but we've had to be super careful. Yeah. We all had to get tested multiple times. You have to wear a mask, a shield, and all of that is heavy too. Like, I just want to be able to go in and do my job, you know? And I know that sounds so whiny, but I'm just like, you want to go in and know the program, because like, that's why we're good at our jobs. We've been doing them for so many years. Right. And like, I know the deal, know what to expect, know how to do it. And this year, all of that's gone out the window.
I thought it was funny when we're sidetracking a little bit, but Mary Hilliard posted a photo last night and I had to click on who was who. Because
we all had those shields on.
And shields and the reflections.
Yeah, Dirks took a picture of our whole team, and he's obviously the only one not in a mask because he was performing. And he was like, I'm sitting there like powdering him, touching him up. And he like looked at me and just started laughing. He's like, this is so weird. You look like a robot. Like, what is life right now? So then we all took a picture. I'll post it later, actually. But it's just such a weird year. And that was coming on the heels of the election stuff. So I was already like, this weekend, I kind of like fired back up. You know, I remember talking to my boyfriend being like, all right, like one thing down, we got to just keep going through. Like we're almost to the end of 2020. And then I just got my ass kicked again this week.
Yeah.
And it's just like, here we go again.
Well, you know, it's also the end of the year. And I think
that's
true. I think it's typical that
it's just like, it doesn't even feel like it's been a year. I'm so confused.
Right. Well, and it's not like we're all going to be able to like really sort of like
celebrate the holidays
the way that we used to. And I think there's probably some stress there. That's
I think so too. I just want I'm craving normalcy, and part of normalcy is sex, I think, if you're lucky. But
unless you're me.
Well, sex with yourself. Okay. Okay, let's read some more messages. We totally have sidetracked. I hope that a lot of you guys are not feeling what we're feeling, but I assume most people are. I think this overwhelm is pretty consistent across the board from everyone I talk to. So just know that we're all in this together, and let's figure out some ways to make this a little bit easier. But this is from Tiana, and she said, it helped after it was over. This is about the election again. My anxiety was through the roof while they were counting the votes, which made it super hard to want to do anything sexual at all. That's how I felt. Like I was just like in complete overwhelm. I was like crying on certain nights because I was so overwhelmed with emotion. And to me, I feel the divide. Like I just feel it. And like I'm an empath, so I pick up on energy everywhere. And it's just like, even when you're going to the grocery store, you feel it right now. Like, and it's just too much for me. Like I need us to be Americans again, that stand by each other. Yeah. And maybe that's going to look completely different too, because, and it needs to, you know, like, I don't know that we've stood as much together as maybe I thought we were, but very openly, we're not together right now.
Right.
And so I'm really hoping that we can get back to that because of the emotional overwhelm. This is from Sarah. She said, it hurt my relationship. I'm so emotionally exhausted to a point I have never been before. That's how a lot of us feel. From Kirby, she said, it definitely hurt. Ha ha. This was so stressful. Yeah. This one says, for Jennifer, it helped. My husband is very politically informed and loves when I talk politics. So that's like their little aphrodisiac there. Especially since we are 99% on the same page of our political views. See, that's where you're, like you said, it's connecting. But could you imagine in a, like, in a country that feels divided right now, if your household was also divided?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you got any messages about that, but I would be curious if anybody listens, any listeners out there, like, if your household is divided, what that was doing for your sex and just like your relationship in general.
Yeah. There were a couple. I'm looking for one, but oh, here it is. I would say it hurt, but only temporarily, because I'm a Trumper and the boyfriend is a Bidener. Only hurt us for a week or so, though. That's good they could let it go that fast.
Yeah.
Because I know we've had some people in our friend group even who have really struggled with this like differing opinion situation, because it feels so opposite ends of the scale. Like there's no middle ground this year.
Right.
You know, like there usually can be like, okay, I can give you that one because I think this, and y'all can like meet somewhere in the middle. It doesn't feel like that at all right now. I guess unless you're like hate fucking all the time.
Right. Which can be fun.
Okay, so then this said, oh my gosh, it's freaking killing my game. I'm 53. The majority of men I meet are supporters. Look, this is not my opinion. I'm just reading messages just for anyone who's about to be bitchy. But it says the majority of men I meet are supporters of the Dorito in chief. They were angry before. Now they are sad. Okay. I don't know why that struck me as so funny.
I've always heard him called the Cheeto, not the Dorito.
Oh, switched it up for you. Helped. This one from Patrick. Helped. Nothing better than a good, fun way to relieve some stress. That's such a dude thing to say, right, though. It helped. On Saturday, the day we found out Biden was elected, was a very good night, a celebration. So I do think there was a couple. If you voted for Biden and Biden won, obviously there's like a sense of celebration that I don't think anybody has held or felt this whole entire year.
Well, I mean, I just counted.
I was about to say, what are you
what's
counting?
9 months from November? Like,
we need to call these Biden babies or
Biden
something.
Biden babies.
This one says, when the results came out, it helped because as a woman, I felt empowered and emotional because finally a woman was elected to one of the highest offices in the land. I am a very independent woman. So to see a woman in such a high office was sexy to me, and I was ready to go.
She got out the pencil skirt and the heels Stella that got, night.
Yeah.
Like, let's do this.
Stella got her groove back is what that sounds like. This says, sort of related, that's not about, a lot of people started writing it about how just this year in general has really taken the sales out of their sex life. And that's always interesting to me because there's two ways, it's the same thing. There's two ways I think this could go. You're at home more, so you're having sex more, if you're in a relationship maybe. We also mentioned a lot of our friends got into relationships because of the COVID stuff. So there's been more sex
for them.
I had a friend
get engaged to a guy that she met. She met him 2 days before they went on lockdown.
What?
And they started, I think it was 2 days, or maybe she'd gone on two dates with him. But they started quarantining together at the beginning, and they just got engaged last week.
Oh my God, that was fast.
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, it's been, they're also like, today's his 50th birthday.
Okay,
she's in her 40s,
older.
So they're a little older. Like he's been married before too. But
you know.
Yeah.
That I think like that can go either way, because you could start having more sex, or you could be so stressed out and overwhelmed by all the crazy insanity of this year that you just don't want to ever have sex.
Right. You could also just be tired of your being around your partner, where you're like,
ugh, don't touch me.
Yeah, get away.
This one says it helped so much to celebrate new beginnings and new leadership. Hurt because we are so stressed all the time. There's another one. So stressed, I never want to have sex. So I found a lot of these to be like the overwhelming information was just like people don't want to have sex when they're stressed.
Which is funny because you do like you would think that sex could be a nice distraction and you know, just a release of stress. But
I guess it depends.
Yeah, I guess though, if you're so in your head about what is happening in the world, that maybe it's just hard to connect, you know, one-on-one with your partner in a way that makes the sex good or like even feel important.
I will say last week I did not feel it. Overall this year, I think it has helped to connect with my partner, because also it's helped me to not feel, we talked about this before, like I think I would have felt very isolated if I wasn't in my relationship during this quarantine period. And so like connecting with him in that capacity, it was like a relief, and it is a release for your body, you know? And so like, that's a stress relief. But I can completely understand, like I said last week, I was so just shut down. Like I couldn't connect to myself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like when you're just so overwhelmed and stressed, and like it, I think I thought like maybe election night, it would just be over, which is such wishful thinking. And so the way it got so dragged out was just like, here we go again. Nothing can be fucking easy this year. And like, I'm just tired. And you just get overwhelmed. You just get so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So I found this article. It's on Good Housekeeping. They talk a lot about the relationship between stress and sex. And there's tips that they gave that actually thought were really helpful to, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling super stressed, here are some things you can do to enhance your sex life again. Because as you're saying, it can be a stress reliever. So you don't want to just completely shut yourself down to it. It's just like, how do you get to the other side of what you're feeling to be able to connect and be with your partner again? And the number one thing they say is talk to your partner. Like, your partner might not be aware of what you're feeling. And so if you're not talking about it, then you're just internalizing the stress even more. And a lot of times I think we take things out on the people closest to us.
Yeah.
So the more stressed, the more overwhelmed, you're snippy, you're like, ah, with your partner, when it's not usually their fault. Even.
Well, there's usually less space to like filter too, right now.
Oh, because you're just together all the time.
You're together.
Yeah. This one says, make time for sex. Chip's favorite thing, schedule sex.
Schedule sex.
But they say sex isn't just about penetration. Oh, they talk a little more about scheduling later. This is actually like, take the time. Like, don't go into the back and say, okay, we got 5 minutes. Let's bust this out really fast.
Right.
Like, take the time. Sex isn't just about penetration. Making time for sex play and to feel sexual is essential. And it doesn't come with the stress feeling that you need to achieve orgasm. So like, if you're just trying to rush it, that's just adding even more stress.
Right, that's
like,
stressful too.
Enjoy prolonged foreplay, intimate massage, or just cuss and kittle. I love when that happens. Kiss and cuddle to lower the stress levels. That's great. I love that. Quick sex, God, is a great boost for your mood, to set the alarm for 10 minutes earlier. Okay. Little morning sex for you. Ditch the technology. That was my thing last week. I was literally on my phone every fucking second.
Yeah.
Like, what's the update? What is this person doing now? What are they saying on CNN? What are they saying on Fox? Like, I was just like all over it.
I was really happy to not have TV last week.
I think that was really smart to just kind of shut it down, because it really, really got to me. And especially like, you don't even, like, I would say to myself, okay, just take a break. Don't check for a couple hours. And then my body's just like doing it.
Yeah,
I'm not even thinking I'm doing it. This says masturbate more. Which we're going to actually give. I want to talk about last week's episode, because I got a lot of feedback about it, and you and I haven't really had a chance to download about it, which was really interesting. It says sex and masturbation are great stress relievers. So make a little me time when you're feeling stressed. When we think of sex, our brain releases dopamine, a chemical that gives us the feeling of pleasure, lowers our blood pressure, and creates a feeling of well-being. Get more sleep. Yes, we all know that. I mean, people, and I try to do this too, but we downplay how important sleep is. But it's important for everything.
Yeah. And I for the last couple of weeks, like, have not been setting an alarm and just kind of been letting my body do what it needs to do.
Interesting.
And what's funny is like, I feel like I actually wake up earlier.
You do? Mm-hmm. Without setting an alarm?
Yeah, and I don't know if that's a result of stress, like, my body, like, or my mind thinking that I need to be waking up, or if because I've relaxed myself, I haven't felt like I need to be hibernating.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just have wanted to sleep so much lately. I don't know what that is.
Well, the daylight saving thing, too, has probably thrown us for a little bit. But
there was a lot.
Yeah.
This one says, talk to your GP. I guess your general practitioner. Mm-hmm. It took me a second.
your gyner.
Yeah, I was like, your gynecologist penetrator. What? That is what sort of happens when you go to your gyno. But okay. Anyway, simply recognizing stress as a contributing factor or the cause of sexual problems can be enough to help you. Just talking to someone outside of your family can help you put your life into perspective. I mean, I think that's, yeah. I think it's like any problem, you have to recognize there's an issue. And like, I love the whole talking to your partner thing, because it's just like, hey, I'm so overwhelmed. And like, it's not that I don't want to have sex with you. I just like, I can't, I just, I'm like, my body is completely shut down.
But when the part, when two partners don't see eye to eye politically, the talk to your partner thing becomes so much more complicated.
I feel like if you were in a household that was divided this year, you guys just got to take a break from each other.
Yeah. So
until things smooth out.
Speaking of, so there's an article on Inc.com that they did, there was a nationwide poll. It was Wakefield Research found that 1 in 10 Americans, which is 11%, to me that would be 10%, but, and 1 out of 5 millennials have ended romantic relationships over political differences. 3 out of 10 Americans have experienced a negative impact on their relationship due to general political climate. 1 in 5 Americans and 3 out of 10 millennials know a couple whose marriage or relationship has been negatively impacted due to President Trump's election. So this is, this survey was done pre this election.
Okay.
A third of the individuals who did not support Trump say that they would consider divorcing their partner if they did.
Wow.
Yeah. The level of relationship difficulty resulting from the Trump presidency is nearly on par with finances, which is often cited as the biggest source of relationship stress.
That's true. I've heard
1 out of 5 couples fought about Trump's policies more than money, and about a quarter of those surveyed say Trump's election win has led to more political disagreements, arguments with their partner than ever before.
Well, I think you and I have talked about this a lot. I know amongst our friend group and stuff, this and what we were saying earlier about it being so divided this year is, it's different than every other year, because I think when you see a person vote on the other side of you, you have this recognition that maybe your core values are different.
Right.
That's what hit me this year, was like, not necessarily like, oh, you know, agree to disagree kind of vibe. It was like, oh shit, this person that is in my life feels so completely differently than me. Than like, how are we connecting on any level? Right. Because like, these core issues are so different.
Well, and there was I like breezed through a story in the New York Times, and you know, there were examples of couples that like had been married for years.
Yeah.
And politics wasn't anything they ever really talked about.
Ooh, totally.
And I wonder if some of that had to do with the fact that for the first time, truly a non-politician was in the White House.
Oh, interesting.
Whereas before it was like, you could kind of like understand that there were going to be differences, but like, sure, it was all just politics. Like, suddenly it was like, and I know this was true for me, I'm like, this is so beyond politics.
It's so beyond politics
that,
this year.
That is why I struggled with people that had a different view of me. Like, I was like, I don't give a shit about taxes at this point. I don't give a shit about, like, this is about fucking being a good human or not being a good human. Mm-hmm. And so if you take that into a romantic relationship and you're like, you don't think that children in cages is a problem? Or you think that sexually assaulting a woman is not a problem? Like, that is core. Like, that is fundamentally at your core.
Right. So how do you build a relationship out of it? Yeah. I mean, that's like, if you were married and it's never really come up before. That's interesting to me, though, because like, I don't see how that happens either as an adult, how you don't talk about politics ever.
Right.
But maybe it wasn't so divided, and you're just kind of like, we just disagree.
And some people are just like, fuck it, I want tax cuts.
Sure.
I don't care about the other shit. Like,
sure.
And so if that is the case, then I could see where it would be easier to be like,
I mean,
you're still the person that I love.
Like, yeah, of course.
You know,
like, we just have different.
Like, of course, yeah, I think sexual assault is terrible and children in cages is terrible, but I'm more worried about my taxes.
Right. But what your other point is like this, or what my point was, is this, it's just such a core values thing that I think it can really weigh on a relationship. So anyone out there, I mean, I hope it's mostly like the one message we got about her boyfriend being, or she's being a Trumper and her boyfriend being a Bidener, that they can just move on after this week. And I hope that's how the whole thing goes for our whole country. And you know what? When in doubt, masturbate, apparently.
Sneak away and diddle your bits.
Yeah. So speaking of that, so did you listen to the episode last week with Dr. Yarian? What were you thinking?
Well, first of all, I didn't know anything about him, and I could tell that he was older.
Yes.
Which, like, A, kind of blew my mind.
He's amazing, though, yeah, right?
Like, I thought it was going to be, like, this, like, young person, like...
who's like, yo, bro, here's what you do. And it's right. not, no.
And he wasn't like, I also think too, why I was like sort of thrown by it was he wasn't like, rigidly clinical about it either.
No.
Like he used terms like get off.
And, yeah.
You know, yeah. I don't know. I really enjoyed the conversation. It's funny because we talk about communication a lot.
I know.
And it really does come down to that. And he brought up the point of taking you out of how to avoid an argument about mm-hmm. these things, because truly, and it's like, I think it really applies to almost anything in life. Like if you're in a relationship and something isn't working for you, you have to approach it of why it's not working for you. Like you can't
totally.
Be like, you do this and you do that and blah, blah, blah. And you're masturbating too much. It's got to be like, well, I recognize that you masturbate a lot, and this is what it makes me feel. Mm-hmm. So then that person can take that information and be like, oh, I didn't know it was affecting you in that way.
Exactly.
And then process it and figure out a solution. And I love that he pointed that out, because it is so like, especially when like the particular topic is talking about like someone hiding in a room and masturbating 10 times a day. Like that is something that like would very easily be like, why are you masturbating so much?
Of course.
You know, like to react in that way.
Well, you want to put the blame. Like I know for me in any sort of relationship, when something's impacting me, I have these feelings. I immediately, my natural instinct, and I think this is a very human instinct, is to go, what they're doing is making me feel this way. And like the reality is we all have our own feelings and our own reactions based on our own experiences in life. And
right.
so yes, what someone's doing, you like, you could not like a certain behavior, but like your reaction and your feeling is completely your own and of your own experience.
Yeah.
So I love the same thing that he really put some emphasis on, like communicating that from that standpoint and not getting accusatory. Like that's never going to go well.
Right.
It just doesn't. I mean, trust me, I'm saying that from experience.
Well, and the truth, is like, you know, it's, I think too, when we approach issues in our relationship of like looking for someone to blame, then you go down that spiral of like, you're putting the why in there and like you're creating all these situations, whereas really what you just need to say is like, hey man, I don't feel good. Like that doesn't make me feel good. Like, can you explain to me why you do it? And it could literally be as simple. It's like, oh my God, I didn't realize it affected you. Like,
well, especially with this topic, because I think there's so many stories we can make up in our head about why someone would do this. Or like if you've had a past experience like mine where it was an issue within a relationship, then you really can spiral out of control with it. And it seems like even more important to have the conversation within your relationship. And I love that he pointed out every relationship's so different. Like some relationships might be like, yeah, no porn, no masturbation. That does not work for us. Other relationships may be like, sure, I don't give a fuck about that.
Yeah,
do it as much as you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think it's really important. I also loved that he pointed out it's not a one-time conversation. It's like something you're going to have to do throughout your relationship. And I started thinking through that like, oh, right. Because, you know, your relationship goes through so many phases. Like when you get married, you might be having a ton of sex. Or then like, what if there's a relationship where there's a lot of travel involved? And so you're not together
all
the
time.
After a baby. I mean, yeah. I know when I was doing all my fertility stuff, like I couldn't have sex. So, you know, like that would have been a good time. I mean, we weren't in a place to have that conversation really at that point. But like, if I was further into my relationship, I might be like, hey, so what's our new protocol? Or let's like have a conversation so that we both feel comfortable. Cause I do think as hard as these conversations are to have, because I think it's a lot of people associate it with shameful behavior. I'm hoping we're getting better about that, but like, I think they're really hard conversations to have, but I think the biggest issue for most people, if we're really being honest with ourselves, is the secrecy.
Totally.
Like that's what makes me uncomfortable about it. The whys, like you said.
But if, you know, obviously you can't just masturbate sitting on the couch. You know, like you're not used to masturbating publicly. I mean, yeah, of course you could. But like you grow up and you create a pattern of how you're going to do it. So it's right. like a guy, and I can obviously only speak from the male perspective, but like a guy doesn't, you know, you're not just sitting around masturbating in front of your parents.
No.
So right. it's the idea of masturbating, like you associate that with like hiding in a room somewhere.
Absolutely.
So it's not necessarily because you're not doing it because you don't enjoy the sex with your partner. You're doing it because you feel like you want to get off mm-hmm. and you find yourself in a quiet room or whatever, right. you know, you find yourself alone. You're in a hotel room or whatever.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, I think like he even made the point, like, when he was talking about like porn isn't a documentary. It is literally just this thing that, you know, people have figured out, like, it's a quick way to like get off.
The lazy man sex is what he called it. I loved that too. Actually, that for me as a female helped when I just thought, oh my God, that makes so much. It just clicked for me something of like, I think as women, we can go, oh, they want to go look at this hot girl. And so then you start comparing yourself and it can feel like, well, why wouldn't he want to do that with me? Or like, you know, why would he take that route instead of like, come find me and let's have sex or whatever. And I thought about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, because there isn't this pressure to like have to get someone else off either.
Right.
There's a lot more emotional ties that happen that like, you know, you have to be connected emotionally. You can't just like phone it in or whatever. And right. so like, yeah, if you don't feel like doing that, you're just like, oh, I just need to get off.
Yeah.
That's just like the easy route out. I'm not saying that's like good or bad. It's just is.
It's problematic when like he's choosing to not have sex with you anymore because he's jerking off too much.
Right.
But like if he's still fucking you, like it shouldn't matter to you how many times he's jerking off a day. Really.
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone can have their own.
He's not showing up for work or helping you with the kids, which were some examples that he mentioned. Yeah, I also thought it was really interesting that he pointed out that most guys, like, they don't, it's not even about the, like, yeah, they might think that woman's hot, but it's not about, like, it's never about, like, them thinking that they're hotter than you. Like,
right.
It plays a completely different role.
It's just, it's entertainment, yeah. like you said. And I mean, yeah, that's an interesting, it was a very interesting perspective. I really enjoyed, I didn't feel like he was, like, downplaying it, but I, not like, it was more of like an ease about the conversation that helped me to understand maybe and not take things, you know, like in certain ways. And I think that there's a lot of stuff that because it hasn't been openly discussed in our society in general, and there is so much shame and it is kept more private, that we make up the stories. And, you know, as a woman, you're like, oh, well, he just wants to, you know, fuck a porn star, I guess. Yeah. Like my boobs aren't as big as hers. Or you just start doing all the shit and it's like, no, that's not really probably what's happening. It could be, but like in most cases, probably not.
Right.
So I just thought it was really interesting. If you guys have not listened, it's the episode of At Casual where I interview Dr. David Yerian. He is a sex therapist here in Nashville. He's also been on the Velvet's Edge podcast just to talk about sex in general. He's great. Like he was so informative.
I also was kind of, it blew my mind when he said that sex addiction isn't an official diagnosis.
Yeah, I actually knew that. It's so interesting, isn't it? But see, to me, like sometimes stuff takes a long time to get into the I think it's DSMV or whatever. That is the diagnosis thing. And that doesn't mean it's not real. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I just think some things are slower. Like I think alcohol addiction took a long time for like alcoholics weren't put in there as a disease for a really long time.
Yeah, but maybe there is something scientific is in the fact that like you're not going to go through a withdrawal from not having sex.
I don't know.
I honestly am the least scientific person when it comes to this. So
yeah.
I mean, I have no idea, but like that really surprised me because I've heard the term sex addict or sex addiction for forever.
Yeah.
That it was, and he was kind of nonchalant about it.
He was very nonchalant.
Like, he said something about like, it's more about having an out of control relationship with sex.
Well, I agree with that. It's to me, sex addiction is similar to like food addiction.
Right.
Like, so you're not going to stop eating, right? So like, you're not going to stop having sex, but it's about finding a healthy relationship with sex versus a addiction to, I think what I know about sex addiction is it's mostly, they refer to it as an addiction to lust. And so like you're constantly chasing after that thing, whatever it may be, whether it's porn addiction, whether it's, you just have to keep having sex over and over and over with multiple partners or, you know right. what I mean? So But I do think I walked away from the conversation last week with Dr. Yerian about feeling about masturbation and even porn in a similar way to anything, that it's about moderation. And I think another thing is, if you can get there with your partner, I think it's about honesty. And yeah. then if you can balance those two things, I actually think it could enhance your relationship in a lot of ways, because everyone knows what they want. A lot. He also brought up, you know, a lot of people like to do that together. That can be like a bonding experience. Or like if you travel, you know, there's always like FaceTime where you can do it together. And like,
right.
that's another connecting way. And I don't know. I think that's just like, I'm really glad, because I know these topics have been super, super scary to me in the past. And so I'm really glad that I feel like our society as a whole has a lot of healers and like just researchers even coming out, talking about these conversations and giving us tools to navigate them in a more healthy way that's not full of shame.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
because like our bodies are made to feel good. That's just it.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, he talks about like in yeah. utero, we touch our genitals yes, and our mouths.
Exactly. That was another really interesting thing. Yeah. So I just don't want people to be so dug into a hole, because I don't think shame helps anything. It doesn't make you want to stop something. It just makes you want to be more secretive about it.
Well, and I thought it was really interesting too, because it made me think about sort of my path here. And to be quite honest, doing this podcast has opened me up
yeah.
so much to just talking about sex. Like, there was a moment last week when it was like the group of us that like went, we like hung out for a bit, and then we all like went and took naps or something. And like at dinner, Mary Hilliard was like, would you like jack off and then take a nap? And I was like, yep. And normally I would have been like, no,
yeah.
you know what I mean? I was like, yep. And I think too, it's like our friend group has been, we've been a lot, like, we're really opening up about talking
yeah.
about this kind of stuff right now.
It's kind of normalizing
but
it.
When he said, I mean, when he goes, I grew up in a house when I was like, the advice was don't have it.
Well,
like,
right.
that was the extent of the sex talk I got.
Right.
Don't have it.
Right.
In
Which
fact,
is not realistic.
I wonder if I still have the letter. My dad never talked to me about it. And
yeah.
I don't even know if my mom really did. But my dad left a letter in my car when I went to college, or gave me a letter when I went to college, that basically said, like, when I went to college, the only thing I had to worry about was, like, STDs and mm-hmm. getting somebody pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can die from sex. Because AIDS was now a thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, well, that's an ominous fucking tone.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Dark.
And it was, there was never a
like,
conversation about like
Don't
even.
Die.
Yeah, but it was like, it was not a conversation of like, look, you're going to do this.
Right.
Just be careful. You know, it was almost like, don't do it.
Which is not, our bodies are not made for that.
It's
yeah.
really, really unhealthy. But I think it's a pattern. Like, that's mm-hmm. He didn't know how, like, because of the weirdness and the shame around it. Like, I mean, I do think that, like, you know, you go, when I see people from more cultured countries, their approach and the way that they talk about sex is very just, like, matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you go to France or England, there's like breasts on TV.
Oh, I know. I wonder how America got the way we are.
I think it was a more puritanical
religious,
sort of
yeah.
religious thing.
Yeah. 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 And I mean, obviously there always seems to be the where you go to the opposite extreme. And so there's a lot of like super extreme stuff too. And so I'm trying to find my way from not to completely shut down to not super extreme, and finding somewhere in the middle that's like an honest, open place about sexuality. That's like, hey, I'm going to do this and I like to do it, and that I can talk to my partner about whatever it is that we're going through at that time. But like, just be open and honest with each other
right.
and keep continuing to grow, and just be realistic. Like, you're not going to not have sex and like in your life, and you're probably not going to not masturbate at some point, you know?
Totally.
So
what you said just made me think of the lyric from Follow Your Arrow by Kacey Musgraves. So
oh, yeah.
If you all don't know the song, it's the first lyrics, it says, if you save yourself for marriage, you're a bore.
Yeah.
If you don't save yourself for marriage, you're a whore
and
an
ible
person. And it's yeah. like, it's true. It's like,
no, you can't
we
win.
Have this thing, particularly in America, where it's like, there's no in between. Mm-hmm. Like, you either are a virgin or you're a whore.
Totally.
And which causes you to want to be quiet about the things that you're
right.
doing, because there's this judgment that's floating out there.
Yeah.
About you,
so. I'm feeling a shift, and I hope that, I think our conversations, the feedback I get from a lot of you guys on my Instagram is just, thank you so much for talking about this topic, because I've wondered about this and like nobody's talking about it, or I don't even feel comfortable talking about it, but us talking about it seems to be helping some people to feel just more to normalize it, yeah. You know? And so,
oh, the other thing he said, and now we're just like saying the whole thing, so you won't have to listen, but you should listen. When he brings up the analogy of like, we go to the movies and we uh-huh. see movies like Fast and the Furious, where people are like, right. drive,
so good.
They're driving cars to an insane degree, yeah. but it doesn't make anyone think that they need to go out and drive like that.
100%.
So why watching porn, which is made to be entertainment, does it make like, our brains are like, well, I need to fuck like that, or,
right.
you know,
it's, but that was such a good thing. Cause I do think that the younger generations, because they've grown up with porn being so easy to access and all of this stuff, they start associating, oh, this is how you have sex. Or that's how a lot of kids are learning to have sex. Yeah. I mean, we had to like navigate our way through it.
Oh, God.
But if that's how you're learning to have sex, then, you know, I don't know. That would be really tough. And I said this in that podcast, but so much of porn is geared towards heterosexual men. And so if you're in any other category, I think it's like, wait, but what about me? What about me? What about what I like? And like, and those are the kinds of things that like you are left to your own devices to kind of figure out. And so that is important.
Well, I think that brings up a really good point. And I would almost say like urge parents to acknowledge, like, I think this conversation, because porn is so like at your fingertips these days.
Yeah.
I think it's a really important conversation to have with your kids. Like now more than ever, like parents need to talk to their children about the way that they're going to feel and mm-hmm. like just sex in general, and to warn them mm-hmm. not to like, don't watch porn, that's disgusting, but like to give it, to frame it. Like
the Fast and the Furious
yeah,
example.
This is, it's a great example to like tell your kids. And it's because otherwise, if they're scared to talk to you about it, they are going to believe that that's how sex is supposed to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree.
So,
well, we're going to keep talking about it on At Casual. And if you guys have not checked out that episode from last week, it's with Dr. David Yarian. And the topic is, are porn and masturbation hurting or helping your relationship? So we got a ton of questions. I feel like that was actually probably one of the main topics that people have written in overall to us to talk about. And you and I were both like, well, we don't fucking know what's healthy. I don't know. Like, don't ask us. So we had to call in the expert on that one. But you guys also keep all the questions coming. Chip, do you have anything else you want to like sign off with for this week? What are your weekend plans here, man?
Oh, God. Well, tomorrow's my birthday.
What? Oh yeah. My God. I just realized what fucking day it is. Yeah. You're right.
I'll be 45 tomorrow.
Wow.
That sounds really old to me. Like it's halfway to 90.
Yeah.
Wow. Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
It's so weird to me.
I mean, how are you feeling about it?
Oh, it's fine. It's just another day.
Yeah.
You know, like, but yeah, tomorrow's my birthday.
Oh my God. I totally spaced on what this week was.
I mean, I can't believe it's November.
I don't even know what today is. So that's great. Well, I know we're working on a birthday celebration for you, so we'll figure out something to do, but
we're gonna have to do it in our, like, we should all get our own like bubble balls, like
hazmat suits.
Yeah, and just roll around.
COVID birthdays are just a little lackluster, but we'll do the best we can.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, you and I
can do a Zoom celebration.
Yeah, I thought about that too.
What if I did a sign up on like all of my social media, like friends from afar? Come, let's do the biggest birthday party ever and like see how many people we can get on a
see
Zoom.
See if you can set up a fan wall. All of a sudden, Chip thinks he's
everyone
got fans.
Has to pay.
Speaking of fans, we still haven't done our Cameo.
God,
I'm so upset. We suck. We haven't done merch. We haven't set up our Cameo. We have an account. We just
have to do
our video.
Yeah.
I can't do it today. I look like shit.
It was the first time I've ever seen you with wet hair not at the pool.
I look terrible. I cannot even deal. This week has taken it out of
my hair is green now, too.
Yeah, Chip has green hair. We get a lot of updates for you guys.
Yeah.
Okay, this episode has been a little smorgasbord, but we're going to go get back to CMA week here in Nashville. And happy birthday,
Chip.
Big time. You guys email us at casual@velvetsedge.com. I would love your feedback on the porn and masturbation episode. I feel like that was trying to answer a lot of y'all's questions. So let me know if we hit the nail on the head or if you have more. You can also slide into my DMs at Velvet's Edge. Chip is at Chip Dorsch. And we will keep you posted on our cameo names. TBD, TBD, BD. What? A couple letters got jumbled at the end there. All right. Well, you guys have a great weekend. Chip, have a good birthday. Thank you. Always remember,
act casual.
Bye.
Bye.